Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Vera. Michele, what's up?
Well, I'll try to contain myself because of yesterday. So, you know, there are little satisfaction in life, like with sports, yeah. And yesterday was one of those.
Yeah, you guys are just helping the world out there.
Yeah, it seems so. There are a lot of people, like even I have some friends in Spain say, wow, all Europe is with you. Like, why? We just beat you like 3 days ago. Yeah, but this is more important. Okay,
how, what's like the NBA comparison for beating Great Britain? Like, what's the, we're beating England?
Well, there was a guy on Twitter that I think made the perfect comparison. I think it was the Fluky, if I'm not mistaken.
He's in the chat, like, right now.
Yeah, I think he made it like, it's, I need to read it because it was so perfect that I don't want to, say anything wrong. Let me see if I can pull it up quickly. Now all the momentum is gone. But yeah, it's it's not this one. I don't have it. It's terrible. It was something about the Clipper fans and the Lakers fans, but I can't find it. Oh, I'm sorry, the Fluky. I messed this badly. Well, they England never won anything in terms of European soccer. They never won. They won one world championship, but they have the attitude of a nation that won everything for like such a long time. It's almost like Sacramento fans all of a sudden decides to behave like the Lakers. Clipper fans with Lakers fan mentality. Yes, that thing. Thank you, the Fluky. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think Clippers, yeah, even maybe Sacramento, it's also a good comp because they had like moments in their history where they were pretty good, but they never won. 66 is the last thing they won.
That's unbelievable. Well, congratulations to you specifically, Michele.
Yeah, because I really care about soccer all the time, and it was clearly the reason why they won.
Also, congrats to the Bucks for getting a game in the finals. They just beat the Suns like a drum last night by 20 points, 120 to 100. And it was good to see them show some life. Really poor performance from the Suns and Devin Booker in particular. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of the game. When Devin Booker scores 10 points on 14 shots, it's not looking good for you. And Giannis looks like a monster. He's been an absolute monster. So it's good. It's good. I want to see a 7-game series. I don't necessarily, I think I want the Suns to win. But I want to see a 7-game series. I don't want to see a sweep. So that was good to see.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily want the Suns to win it all. I mean, I would be extremely pleased because one of my friends is in is in the coaching staff, and so I really root for him. But you know, even if Milwaukee ends up being the team that wins this year, I think it's good for the NBA. Yeah. I mean, it's good that a star like Giannis has a title, same as Chris Paul. I mean, Giannis has clearly more time, and Chris Paul, this is probably his best chance. Yeah. So that is another reason why you want to root for the Suns. But it's not like, I think, I don't know if it was in our group chat or on Twitter, that there is no villain in these 7-game series. There is really not. There are two teams that are extremely likable for different reasons. And so you can enjoy basketball without having to necessarily root for one team, because if the other wins, and when Jrue Holiday shuts like he did, and Middleton is better, and Giannis plays a lot at center, then it might happen that Milwaukee has an edge, especially on their home court.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're texting about this, and I think the biggest, if you're not into this NBA Finals, I think the biggest problem is that we don't have a villain. Is that both these teams are just like, they're easily teams that anybody could root for, and
yeah,
it's kind of a problem in regards to the NBA Finals, because if the Nets were there, that's your clear villain. If the Clippers were there.
Oh, the
That's
Clippers.
Your clear villain.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're both eliminated. And obviously, in the moment, still, we were rooting for those teams to be eliminated. But when the stakes are the highest, that's when it becomes kind of more fun.
Yeah. Can you imagine having KD out there? Like, that would be extreme hate for probably the entire nation, except for the Brooklyn area.
Yeah. 100%. And all of the, like, second graders who root for the Nets because they have all the stars. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that... Yeah, sure.
It's got to be a thing.
We've been there.
Something else that's a thing, and kind of has been a thing for a while, Vit Krejci is going to play for the Blue or the Thunder next year, just depending on what roster spots are available. I've always kind of assumed he would play for the Thunder, or he would be a two-way contract or whatever he's going to be, but you know, we'll see. I kind of expect him to be on the Thunder roster. He's been here, so to me it's not, there was really no mystery as to if he was going to play here this next season, because he's been here rehabbing this whole time. The Thunder have been watching over him this whole time. It honestly would be very strange and unusual if he decided not to play here next year, because he's been here.
Yeah. Yeah, and from the reports about him, about his NBA, the possibility to exit of his current contract and the buyout, it is curious that they paid it this season. Probably, and this is probably why they have to sign him, and they didn't last year, because they couldn't. They couldn't sign him to the last year's roster, but they probably made an agreement with his team. Since he couldn't play because of the injury, they probably asked him, the player and the team, if he could rehab in OKC, and then having the buyout paid a year after. I think that for his former team, it makes total sense, because they didn't have to pay anything for his medical rehab. And for OKC, makes a ton of sense because of the fact that you can survey it, you can try to at least interact with the player and show him films and stuff like that. So it was a win-win situation. But the fact that now he's basically free contract-wise, it indicates that he will be on the roster. I'm not sure if he will play, because it may happen that he's assigned to the Blue after the contract. Yeah. And so who knows? But I think that he will have a fair chance in training camp to be on the main roster.
Mm-hmm. And I would just caution anybody that is counting roster spots at this point, because
yeah, it makes no
the
sense.
Amount of turnover that's going to happen between today and October, I think it could be significant. So do not draw conclusions today about anything. I think you just have to realize like the information that we're working with is so limited at this point, and we just have to kind of watch and react as it unfolds. So don't get too ahead of yourselves at this point in the off season, because the Thunder are always one of the busiest teams. And the fact that they're still in like asset acquisition mode / trying to find main pieces and trying to swing for the fences and all this stuff just means that the churning is going to continue. And yeah. So just don't stress about roster spots at all with regards to Vit.
Yeah, and there are probably 5 to 8 roster spots that you can clearly say that are taken for next season. It's Bazley, Shea, that's 2. Lou, 3. Ty Jerome, 4.
Poku.
Then Poku. That is, I think, the 5 that you can say for sure they will be there, even if Bazley, it's not a sure thing yet. Then you have probably Theo, Mike, and Kemba as the next 3 guys. Because there is at least a chance that Kemba stays at the beginning of the season. All the others, like Svi, Roby, Bradley, I don't see Bradley sticking, to be honest with you. Deck, those are guys that, there's Kenrich as well. Yeah. So maybe 9. But there are still quite a lot of roster spots, and you don't know what happens on draft night. You don't have to assume anything. It could be 1 pick among the five that they have, or 5. Mm-hmm. Like it's really unclear to me what they. Maybe it's 2. Maybe it's 3. They have a lot of options, and they can package a few guys if they need roster spots. Mm-hmm. So maybe they again their second round picks can be 2 ways. So
yeah,
you're far away from the 15 that you need to have. So it's no stress right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. I guess we have to talk about this trade, this fake trade that was on The Athletic. And there's another one coming. I don't know if it's been published yet. Let me check if it's up there. If not, we'll wait to discuss it. James Edwards III, who is a tremendous person, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is our beat writer at The Athletic. And he put together this kind of fake trade article that set Oklahoma City on fire for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Just,
I don't know. People take it very, very seriously, McKelly. This is kind of a wild thing to me. But anyways, the trade was the 6th pick and Shea for number 1. And
yeah,
you have to first, as a Thunder fan, one, just take away your visceral reaction for a second and think about if you are the Pistons.
Exactly.
Because this is coming from a Pistons writer. Coming from a guy who like knows the league very, very well. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to with regards to the NBA because he knows it very, very well. But if you're the Pistons and you have the number 1 pick in the draft, you have the number 1 pick,
mm-hmm.
you need more than just a player straight up. And I get it that Shea, we said it on the show, that there's a chance that Shea is better than anybody that's in this draft. I mean, there's I don't know.
I'm on that side, by the way, of the argument.
And,
but I see, anyway, the point of the trade that...
Yeah, you just have to have more. You have to have... It has to be an over-the-top offer to get the number 1 pick in the draft. And that's how it should be. And the Thunder aren't going to do a deal like that just because I don't think that it favors them at all. I mean, you can phrase it like this. Would you rather have Cade Cunningham or Shea and Kuminga? Or Shea and Scotty Barnes? Or Shea and Suggs? Or whoever it is that drops to them. Shea and Suggs would be... I would take that and I'd run away.
That's the easy answer.
Yeah, that's the easiest answer. But let's just say that it feels like the most likely outcome is Shea and Kuminga. That Kuminga will be there. And I think that you would just say, I would rather take a swing at Shea and Kuminga. Because Kuminga can be anything close to the ceiling, then that's a great pairing. Like he's a wing scorer that has defensive tools that can be the best two-way wing of this draft. Would I predict he'll be the best two-way wing in this draft? Absolutely not. There's no way that I would predict that. No, but is it possible?
I don't.
Yes.
Yay. Yes. It's the more I see, the more it's not. It's really not my cup of tea. But anyway, let's stick for a second and try to like zoom out and be the Boston Celtics evaluating this trade, or I don't know, any other team. Like on the one hand, if you see in the future that Cade is really the number one in this draft, then that trade makes sense because, like, if in 5 years he is one of the good number one picks, maybe not the great ones, it still makes sense to say, well, you trade a guy that you have no control, that you may have 5 years of control for a guy that you have, where you have 8, 10, depending on how things turn out. And he was a very good number one pick. Great. That's a trade that makes sense. On the other end, if your evaluation of Shea is, well, very few third-year players can do what he does. And in the past, guys like that, with a good system around them, can be the James Harden, the, like, I don't know, name a star that has like a very good scoring instinct. And Shea, you can argue, has more upside on the defensive side. So would you trade James Harden for a good number one pick? The answer is probably no. So depending on where you land on the evaluation of Shea and the risk factor that the number one pick involves, then you can see both sides of this trade. It makes sense for both. Like, for one side, it makes sense to ask Shea plus number 6. And for the other, makes total sense to say, what? Really? Like, it really depends.
Yeah.
And the unknown are still there. That is why, to me, it's not a wild trade. It's just a trade that will probably never materialize as is, because the two sides, either Presti has a very, very high opinion on Shea on Cade or whoever it's there and he wants to pick him compared to Shea, or that trade really never materialize. Because I agree. I mean, if you're the Pistons, you don't trade the number one pick for Shea. You don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, it's not really that you have a timeline that is set right now. I mean, Jeremy Grant is a nice addition, but you don't trade the number one pick because of Jeremy Grant, because you want to align a player to Jeremy's timeline. It makes absolutely no sense. You could be killed for that in 5 years. So you need to have some extra. You say, well, I was down on Cade. I had very high grades on both on Suggs, Kuminga, and Barnes. I got a guy that I had really high grades on plus Shea for the number one pick. That is perfect.
Yeah.
So it's to me, I mean, that trade is the 4 plus Baines to me was offensive. Was really like, no one in his right state of mind can even be close to that sentiment. With this one, I think it's actually spot on and shows that trading for the number one pick is extremely hard. Extremely hard. And again, to me, it makes way more sense to say, well, I'll give you 5 for some picks if you're OKC.
Yeah.
Even mine, unprotected, if I'm sure that the guy there will help me. Like, I would go as far as saying, well, I'll unprotect 2022 and I'll trade the unprotected 2023. If that is the guy that I have 100% commitment on.
Yeah.
And that, like, 2023 unprotected for OKC today is really, really a good pick, because anything can happen.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, that's what the Mavericks did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that Luka was their guy. And
yeah,
I think there's lots. I think the Thunder have lots of possibilities here. I think that we also have to realize that it's just quite unlikely that a deal like that would happen. Because if you're a Pistons fan, I would be pretty upset if you get the number one pick, you have the opportunity to take whoever you want at that top spot, and what you do is you trade down to six and you kick the can down the road. I would.
Yeah.
If you're the Thunder, if the Thunder did that, if the Thunder somehow drew the number one pick and the Pistons were at six, and the Pistons say, hey, we'll give you six and we'll allow you to have an unprotected 2023 first rounder from the Pistons, which could be a great pick.
No, I meant the 2023 as the first one of the five that I give you.
Oh, okay.
It's still five, the number of extra pick. It's like one of those is a very good one, like, because you don't know the value
and
of the...
Like,
it may be like...
Two additional in this, like three from this draft, one additional, and then another additional. Yeah, I would still just be
exactly.
Like, this is crazy. Because the whole goal is to get a pick in the top three. Like, that's the purpose
yes.
of all of this.
Yes.
And I think somebody that was with the Thunder for years as the general manager understands that. But also he has his own evaluations. He's not going to be a groupthink GM. He's going to take who he thinks is the best player. And I am not fully convinced it's Cade. I feel kind of drawn to that groupthink, which I think everybody does, of that the guy is Cade. And I'm not convinced that it is.
Well, Fultz was the guy, according to anyone.
Yeah.
It was preposterous to say.
Absolutely.
Any to say otherwise. And I mean, to me, and I don't want to spill it too much because we have another place for that.
Yeah.
But I'm still, I went back and watched a bit more on Suggs and Cade because of the, I mean, we had some interaction on Twitter. We say, why, what do you see about Suggs? And I went back, and the more I watch about Suggs, the more I'm convinced.
Yeah.
And with Cade, there is this glaring issue to me about his ball handling and ability to beat his own man. Mm-hmm. That it's still there. So to me, it's not clear cut. He's probably the guy that has the best upside because of the unbelievable shooting.
The shooting, the size,
there is this issue.
The leadership.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
He's got lots of things. But there are big deficiencies where stars usually thrive.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yes. No. You said it exactly. Like, there are things... And again, you can say, well, but Kawhi doesn't put it on the court. Well, he does. It wasn't his forte. Well, it was how he approached the league. The shooting came after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's, again, it's not clear cut. I completely agree with you. And if you have this evaluation, then you may not trade back to six because it's unlikely. But maybe you trade back to two or three. And if the Thunder have a way to trade up to three, then maybe that materializes. Because now if you're saying, well, three plus two very good picks, then it's not that terrible of a trade.
Yeah. No.
It's terrible to trade back from three to six, but that's another story that can happen for very different reasons. Like,
yeah.
There are financial reasons to do so. So it's
it's
all up in the air. It would cost OKC a fortune to pull out something like that,
yeah.
A fortune, especially if you don't include Shea. But I mean, if you have high grades on one of these,
it's worth it.
Then, yes, again, if this is your, not even LeBron James, because that everyone will trade, I mean, I don't know, 25 picks for LeBron, it would be probably not enough.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. But if this is your James Harden, then you do it. Mm-hmm. You absolutely trade 5 or some picks for a guy like James Harden, which is, again, not number one guy now. Not even top 5 right now in the NBA.
Yeah.
But he is still a top 15 player, and you trade 5 for some picks to get a top 15 player in the league, especially if you can pair him with Shea.
And especially if you already have 18 of them.
Exactly.
Picks. I mean, this is the reason why you have like this ridiculous amount of picks, so that if you did trade 5, it doesn't kill your war chest of picks. Like, you can, if you believe that you're getting piece number 2 next to Shea, then, and if you're able to keep Poku and Dort and Bazley and guys like that as well, where you can kind of push through, and or maybe you think Ty Jerome is one of those guys, or whatever the case may be, you can start really building a team, right? I mean, that's that to me is, that's what this is all about. We're trying to build a team, and
yes,
it's certainly possible with some of these guys, and perhaps we don't know what the Thunder's evaluations are. We don't know who they're talking to. We don't know what they want. And
yeah,
perhaps it is Scotty Barnes is as their guy. Perhaps it is, maybe they want to take a swing at Jonathan Kuminga. We don't know. We just don't really know.
Yeah.
But
maybe they want to put their, maybe they don't want to put all their chips on because they are waiting for Wembanyama or Chet. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be. We like this draft. We don't love this draft.
Exactly.
We will take the best player that falls to us at 6, and then we will aim for next year's draft. And we will wait to use 5 picks to trade up until the next draft, because we believe there are 3 guys in 2022 that are worth it. And we're not certain that the guys in 2021 are worth it. So the Thunder won't be prisoners of the moment. I'll tell you that. They will not be prisoners of this moment and this draft if they don't believe that there is a superstar. Because the goal is to get a superstar, not a very good player. Like, they want a superstar. That's what they want.
Yeah, and they will be in no rush to trade Shea because of that. I mean, I don't see them going after a trade with Shea if it doesn't make total sense this year. I mean, if you cannot extract like enormous value for Shea, then it makes absolutely no sense to rush anything.
Yeah.
Like, what's the, if Shea is not what you think, what I think he is, like a number one guy on a very good team, I see top 20 potential in him.
Definitely.
League-wise.
Yeah.
I see that, and I see that as a, not like, yeah, every number one pick has that potential. No. I really see that as a viable option for Shea after what I saw during this year. I'm very, very high. So suppose that he has like a bad season. Yeah, the value drops, but so drops your record. And so you have a chance to be, because if Shea is not what I think he is, then OKC will win 20 games, 25 games, which means perfect positioning for Chet. If he's great and they win 38, 39, imagine having a star like Shea on a 5-year max after he was probably a borderline all-star or an all-star. That gives you, that in February gives you a crazy value. Now, probably because of contract rules, you cannot really trade him. Or probably you can because you have 6 months. I don't know. I have to check. Maybe our friend John will give us the truth on Twitter, but suppose you can. Imagine the value that you can have in February, in 6 months because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's, to me, it's, there is no rush. Again, if a trade makes sense today, you do it, but it has to be a trade that you say, well, I don't care. He can become James Harden, and this is still the right choice for me.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to gain that value in this draft because of the thing that we said about Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about in our text thread about the trade and about trading, like doing the James Harden trade again. And if the Thunder were able to extract Bradley Beal or Klay Thompson in the deal, then we don't talk about it.
No.
Right?
No, and OKC has a title for that. I'm quite sure.
Yeah, we don't talk about it. But
no.
Because it was a bad trade, that's why we talk about it. And
yeah.
I tend to agree that if you're going to trade Shea, you don't do it today. You wait. And you let him develop another year. Give him a full season to show what he's got. And let some guys develop around him. We just don't. I think that we feel like we know Shea very well, but I think there's a lot more to learn about him.
Exactly. He never, never stopped in the development.
Yeah.
Like, the only moment where I felt at least that the overall consensus was, well, there, he stopped, was before the bubble and after the bubble, where to me, and I said it many times, and this is not no Victor Lap kind of thing, but if you look at the numbers, I mean, it wasn't great, but you have to put context around it. He was taking 5 threes in the bubble, which is something that it was insane. Like, Shea was not that player before the bubble. And in the bubble, he transformed himself into a guy that was able to take threes off the dribble at a very good rate and a very good percentage. And yes, he struggled. He struggled mightily against a team that didn't have a center because his own coach didn't allow him to have space on the court. Like, it may be harsh overread on Billy, but I mean, we all saw, like, the fact that playing with Dort and Adams lead to having no space. And if you are Chris Paul, probably at that point in your career, you can be a little bit more effective than Shea.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the numbers, I mean, Shea was way more efficient than Dennis. Not Chris, of course, but Chris is an Hall of Famer. So, I mean, I think that it was unfair. And the skills that we all advocate for him to add in the bubble was shooting, and he was doing it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, so it's, we don't know what happens with Shea. Suppose that he comes back and he takes 8 threes off the dribble per game and he hits like 38% of them. That changes completely the calculation on Shea. You don't trade him for anything. You just say, well, I'll use my picks to create a team that works.
Yeah.
Because it's what I do. I don't care if I'm in OKC, if I have a guy like that. If I have Lillard in OKC, I build a team for Lillard. I don't try to reset the timeline. He's too good for that.
Mm-hmm. Then you try to do better than what the Blazers did.
Exactly. Which, with 18 first-round picks, you are really well-positioned to do that.
Yeah.
Because you have your generational talent.
Yeah. Your margin for error is pretty wide. And better not screw this up. It's kind of what it is.
Yeah, and still, it's extremely hard.
Yeah, it is.
So,
let's go to the stream real quick, then we'll take a quick break. Lawrence Field is here with us. Hoopsock 69 is here. Just always so great. Thanks for being here with us. Let's see. Everybody's congratulating you. What an epic game from Italy. In the Euros from Lawrence Field. Sam from New Zealand. From the land of champions.
Yeah.
Go Italy.
Yeah, Tommaso is one of us.
Here's the Fluky from Germany. He says, thank you, Italy. Miguel de Bella's here. Hoopsock 69 throwing out some emojis for you. Tommaso says, the Brexit is now official. Oh, that's funny. Gosh. Falk, who's in Denmark, also congratulating. We got all of our Euro listeners in here just loving it. Absolutely loving it. This is Paul Kenneth Ainge says, what's up, Andrew? Will you have a deep tissue upper thigh massage, Ballmer style, when we get a top 3 pick in the draft? Yes, I'll promise to do that if they trade for the third pick with the Cavs. Yes, we'll try to get it on video. And by the way, you can come join us at Fassler Hall in Oklahoma City at 6 o'clock on the night of the draft. We will be there. There will be lots of TVs. They have really good food, and it's going to be really fun. And it's a place where we can all gather in one location. It's a really, really big place. So come join us at Fassler Hall the night of the draft. It's going to be a blast. So be there. Miguel DeVella is here. Let's see. Evan Christian. Let's see. Daniel Tomasi says, Wasan boys from the UK. Let's see. Alexander Britton says he's listening on his drive from Tulsa to OKC. Thanks so much for listening. Daniel Tomasi says, Andrew coaches youth basketball, and I coach youth soccer in the UK. I take inspiration from the legend, basketball coach Bob Knight. Who does Andrew look up to for coaching philosophy? Dave DeFore. That's my coach that I'm looking up to. Christos, who's in Greece, also happy. Wojciech in Poland, also happy.
It's great. I mean, I'm sorry for UK guys, but it seems that all Europe is happy about the results.
Right. Daniel from last night. Norway. Let's see. Black White is here. Tom Bystander is here. James Anderson. Let's see. AM. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining. Dylan Greaves, Robbie. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining in on the stream. If you're listening to this on the podcast app, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can watch us live, or you can go watch us afterwards. Hope everybody's doing great, and we will talk to you guys after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back from that quick break. Mikkeli, the draft is very, very close. We've talked a little bit about it just through the lens of trading Shea, which I think we both agree is probably not the right move as of today. And It's easy to compare it to the Harden trade, and you can easily say the Thunder jumped the gun on trading him. If they would have waited a year, things would have been a little bit better for them. But can't do anything about that now. But you can do something about trading Shea now. But let's say things stick as they are. Mm-hmm. And the Cavs... There's a good chance that Evan Mobley drops to the Cavs, and which I would be floored if they traded the pick if Evan dropped to 3. Mm-hmm. I think the Raptors are probably not trading the pick unless something overwhelming comes their way, that they're just waiting to see who drops to them. Mobley,
I don't
or
think that
Suggs.
Green or Mobley. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think that Green and Mobley are, at least as of today, the most likely to be in their radar before Suggs. Mm-hmm. But it's curious to me what happens with number 4, because there is where the dance begins to me. And Toronto has a GM that is, I think he's open to anything.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean that he will make a favor to OKC and just give them the pick number 4. Mm-hmm. But it means that he will be extremely open to evaluate, because there are like expert in the drafts that are starting to say that Barnes is in the same ballpark as Suggs.
Yeah.
And to me, that is not the correct assessment. I lean sucks heavily, but no matter what I think, there is this option that Toronto doesn't like Suggs enough and they may want to extract value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's insanity, by the way. I think it's absolutely crazy. But I also don't have, I'm not working with the same information these teams are. And the fact is that mistakes will be made on draft night, even if we don't think they're being made at the time. Mistakes will be made. Mistakes are being made right now with mock drafts. You know, that's it's just the way it is.
Yeah, but go back to the great draft of Luka, Ayton, and guys like that. Think about Memphis. No one talks about, I mean, everyone talks about how Sacramento screwed up big time. Yes, great. But think about Memphis. I mean, is that the right move? To stay pat? To not draft Trae Young? Like, Atlanta made a very risky move. And all Memphis had to do was to draft Trae Young. And that trade for Atlanta would be awful. Because you don't give away Luka for JJJ plus two first-round picks. So that even who stays pat and drafts whoever comes their place because their evaluation was that high, it doesn't mean that they have the correct evaluation. The correct evaluation was to draft Doncic first, Trae second, and Ayton third. That is the correct assessment now. But back then, when things were in motion, like if you're Memphis, why don't you try to extract value out of that?
Yeah.
Because you just have to call the Hawks and say, well,
sorry,
you did that. Great. Nice move. But I'm taking Trae. Unless you give me the two picks that you just paid, that you just got. So it's like, why? You are in a position of super play. You know who they want. Like, you really know it. You just have to take him.
Yep.
Like, it's... So it's even if Toronto says, well, we like Barnes, we don't move, it doesn't make it the right move. If you can't extract value, you need to.
Yeah, you're right.
So who knows?
Yeah, you're right. By the way, I think I would take Shea over Ayton.
Yeah, it makes it is an option. I mean, it would have been a crazy, crazy pick.
I mean, at the time, yes. If you're doing a redraft, if you're redrafting that class, I think it's Luka. I think it's probably Trae, just because we've seen him do it in the playoffs. And we haven't seen Shea do it in the playoffs. And that matters significantly. When we talk about needing a villain. I mean, he became a villain. And it's because he was that good.
Yeah.
So I think you have...
He wanted to be one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. And I think you have to put Trae second just because of that performance. Yeah. And we may get a performance from Shea in the near future that makes us flip-flop this. This is a fluid list. This isn't set in stone. But I would take Shea just the way... I think he can affect a game more than Ayton can. Ayton needed the right situation to start to maximize who he is. And he's in that now. You know, he's got Chris Paul with him. He's got Booker with him. You're unsure.
Yes, I am. Because I see... I'm not saying that I would pick Ayton before Shea. I think that Ayton is not the guy that he will be in 5 years.
That's probably
and
true.
And that guy could be a number one center in the league. There is potential for that in Ayton. Because defensively, I mean, in the way in which he... I know that you don't agree because of the passing, but he was so dominant. He can be so dominant offensively that he took him a while to get there. But he's improving at a similar rate compared to what Shea is doing. Because the difference between Ayton on defense in year one compared to Ayton in defense in year three... It's quite stunning.
Yeah.
He started from being Cantor level to be even worse, to be very, very, very good, to be a guy that can anchor a defense that can guard Giannis one-on-one, even not a super healthy version of Giannis, but that still counts. So to me, yeah, I would probably lean a guard. But I mean, I wouldn't question guys like I didn't in the draft. Like to me, drafting Ayton outside the top three was a mistake at the time. Mm-hmm. And to me today, it's still a discussion. Because Ayton has the potential to be so imposing that you cannot play small against him. He has that potential.
He has the potential. Like, he just there's still.
I know about the consistency.
Yeah, it's consistency and it's.
His aggressiveness, like, as Joel Embiid, Dylan Graves says in the chat.
Like Joel Embiid, there was no question from day one whether he wanted to destroy you. Right?
Yeah.
Every single game, he wanted that. Shaquille O'Neal obviously wanted to destroy you. And I don't know. You don't get that same juice from Ayton.
Not now, but you're starting to get it way more often than what it.
So I'm saying the situation has been very, very good for him. And I don't know. I worry a little bit. Do I trust Robert Sarver to keep this team together? Is one of the questions that I have.
Okay. That is fair.
Because they're going to get very, very expensive, very, very fast because of DeAndre Ayton, because of how good Mikal Bridges has been. Cam Johnson, you think they're going to be able to keep Cam Johnson? Are they going to pay like crazy amounts of luxury tax? Because he's going to make some money because he's a bigger guy that can shoot and defend. Like the guy's making 15 to 20 million. That will happen.
Yeah. Or Bridges will, if he
Bridges probably gets a max
timeline.
Bridges probably gets a max.
No, but close to that.
So you don't think some other team would come at him with a restricted free agent?
It would be a mistake. Yeah, maybe, but it would be a mistake.
Lots of mistakes are made with these contracts. Lots of mistakes are made.
Yeah.
Cantor with OKC.
Yes.
The amount of money that was offered to him was insanity. Yeah. But if you're the Thunder, they had to do it. And if you're if you're the Suns, you have to do it. But they have an owner who has the propensity to take the cheap route and has let tremendous talent go in the past. Maybe he's learned from that. Maybe he doesn't like the bad press. Whatever it is, perhaps he will change. But if I were a Suns fan, I would just say I hope they win it this year, because I don't trust the owner to continue to push this forward. I think they have kind of fallen into a great team.
I think that the easy way out is to not to re-sign Chris Paul, and that would be something that can happen. I really see that as a possibility.
Yeah.
Especially if they lose. If they win, maybe we'll say, well, who cares? I mean, we just won a title. You don't break up a title team.
Yeah.
And we still have a couple of years of relative being safe. We sign like a 2+1 with a both way out at a crazy number. And it's just 2 years.
Yeah.
But if they lose...
Yeah.
I mean, to me, there's a really high chance that they won't resign. And again, back to Shea in the draft. Yeah, I would probably draft Shea. But again, the reason is if you take Ayton before Shea, even today, you're not screwing up. You just have a different evaluation.
Yeah.
And it's not a terrible evaluation, to be honest, because it can make sense for you to draft a guy like Ayton before Shea. With Trey and Luka, to me, it doesn't make any sense because again, I mean, Ayton showed off in the playoffs, which is very important. Mm-hmm. Now it can be a Steven Adams situation against San Antonio, where we all thought, "Wow, this is the new coming of Steven. He will be changed after this season." And guess what? Starts the regular season and it starts again. With a very, very good start, but not very productive. And by the end of the season, say, wow, another one.
Yeah.
And we all love Steven, but it was the pattern after that series where basically that series alone worth him the 20+ million contract per year that he signed. It was that moment. So you never know, but at the moment, like when they signed Steven to that big money, no one was really saying, well, or at least we were saying, yeah, it's a bit overpriced, but not that much. Come on. Mm-hmm. He just destroyed Duncan in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. Yeah, I just think if you have a guy that can handle the ball, that can affect the game,
Yeah, sure.
At multiple levels, I like that. And I like Ayton a lot. I think Ayton's going to be a really good player. And he will show, he will improve. He's only 22, so it's not like he's old. Speaking of age, today is Shea's birthday. Happy birthday to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yay.
So thanks to Hoopstocks.
Definitely number three then. Definitely.
Definitely.
Because it's her birthday. Come on. Maybe two.
Yeah, maybe two. Thanks to Hoopstocks.
Who says this Luca is a better player? Not me.
Hey, who knows? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It's funny because we always have these evaluations about draft classes. And early on, it was like, oh, you know, Russ is really good, but Derrick Rose is the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And the first, like, obviously, injuries had a lot to do with it. Yeah. And then the same with James Harden. It was like, well, you know, Harden's good, but Blake, you know? And then it was just clearly Harden. So we don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't know.
Thanks so much for listening to our show. Again, join us the night of the draft, July 29th, 2021, at 6 o'clock at Fassler Hall. It's in Midtown near downtown Oklahoma City. There's adequate parking. It's got adequate space. If you joined us for our lottery party, the space is much bigger than the Mule and Edmund, and so we can all kind of gather in one space. If you are concerned about that, maybe you came and you left the lottery party because it was too crowded. This will be a different environment. So plan to be there. It's going to be a really, really fun night. And we will talk to you guys again with Alex on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.